a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. Senate Agricultural and Natural Resources will come to order. Welcome. Nice full house. We appreciate that. And welcome to the internet listeners. Please silence your phone if you do have them. And again, if you're going to testify, please sign in. And welcome to the pages. And at this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Ewing?
Here.
Frerichs?
Here.
Lucas?
Here.
Amdahl?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Roden?
Here.
Valley?
Here.
Rampelberg? Krebs?
Here.
There is a quorum.
A quorum is present. Today we have one item on the agenda for Thursday, January 30th. It's Senate Bill 8, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the assessment and taxation of real property. But first, we'll take a motion.
I move to approve the minutes.
A motion to approve the minutes by Senator Lucas, seconded by Senator Frerichs. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are so approved. All right. We will go right into the agenda item, Senate Bill 8. I will take proponent testimony for Senate Bill 8.
Good Thank morning. You, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senator Larry Roden, District 29. I bring to you Senate Bill 8 on behalf of the Ag and Land Assessment Implementation and Oversight Advisory Task Force. I am the chair of that committee, and we had two bills that came out of that task force this summer, Senate Bill 8 being one. The other is a House bill. Senate Bill 8, I am going to talk very little about Senate Bill 8. Just in brief, Senate Bill 8 represents simply cleanup language. When we passed the new production ag tax, we put in place a safety net or some caps on schools' ability to capture additional dollars by virtue of capital outlay. We also put caps in other areas as far as how much value they could increase or how much they could increase the assessments. Originally, we had a 10% cap so the ag land could increase no more than 10% a year. 2 years ago, because ag assessments were going up so dramatically, we had to raise that cap. But we also extended the number of years out to 2019. When we did that, we didn't extend those years in the capital outlay that you see in Senate Bill 8. So this bill was simply to extend those years, cleanup. The bigger issue is all we would accomplish in this is extending those years on that cap to 2019 on a safety valve that is worthless. It accomplishes nothing. And here's why. This represents a 10% cap, so if your assessed values go up more than 10%, the school district is allowed to increase their capital outlay no more than 3%. But that's on ag assessment, and the reality of the situation, we have a lot of ag assessments that are going up, in some cases, 25% in counties. But that's averaged among all classes of property. So in all but one county, their total assessment doesn't hit the 10% ceiling. And so the safety net, if you will, accomplishes nothing. So back to where we were and what the disposition of Senate Bill 8. I was contacted by Matt Michaels, and we talked about the big picture on capital outlay. And I wanted to visit. The chairman has given me the latitude to discuss the big picture in capital outlay because it's very pertinent to where we're at right now and a much larger conversation that will take place in the future. Back in 1995, when Janklo took the bull by the horns and created the new funding formula, that was a huge undertaking. And in my years in the legislature, as I've learned and understood the funding formula more, I've come to believe that that was a very sound funding formula plan, and I think it's worked very well. However, he equalized general fund spending for education. did that with a new funding formula, which I think most of you understand is local need minus local effort equals state aid. So every student in the state, the PSA per student allocation is the same. He equalized education for general fund spending. And I don't know this for a fact, but I've speculated through the years, knowing the enormity of that task, to find a way to equalize general fund education, that he didn't take on capital outlay. I think he understood very well the problems with capital outlay, and that's the fact that they're not equal. And in Faith, South Dakota, that's the reason for 3 years the kids at Faith were selling raffle tickets, and they were doing fundraisers, and they passed a bond issue that doubled their taxes in order to pay for a very meager school building after the old one's condemned. You have the issue of other revenues, bank franchise tax, fines, very inequitable across the state. Some districts fare very well, others get very little. So it all lends to the fact that our capital outlay system is broke. And I've been beating the drum and pounding the pulpit for years now, especially as we have bills come forward that have worked toward bastardizing, for lack of a better word, our capital outlay system. And we've done these short-term fixes. And I was looking in the code just before I came up here, going back to 2001 when Jankel was still governor. The first time, it was House Bill 1196, which we extended the use of capital outlay to cover textbooks, instructional software, insurance, and energy. And that was vetoed by then-Governor Jankel. He understood the road we were going on, and he tried to warn us off. That was my first year in the legislature. I voted to override the veto, which we did. I'm older and wiser now. He was right. He was absolutely right. And what have we done since then? Looked it up in code, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines under the where the legislation was changed since 2001. In 2009, we did a 3-year window where we allowed schools to use capital outlay to buy insurance, casualty insurance, energy costs, utility, motor fuel, transportation, mileage reimbursement. 3-year extension. He says, we'll just give them that window of time. Guess what happened at the end of the 3 years? Any guesses? We extended it. Extended it out to 2018. So we have continued to chip away at capital outlay, distorted its original use, and all we've done is magnified a system that is completely inequitable. You leave schools like Faith, South Dakota, and others in the lurch, while other schools from rich districts have huge amounts of capital outlay. In the world of agriculture, where we have assessments all across the state that are going up by 17%, when it comes to general fund, that's tempered by the lowering of the mill levy. But in capital outlay, no such thing. Your assessments go up by 20% or 25%, your taxes go up by 25% on capital outlay. And understand, capital outlay at three mills is now 33% greater a hit to the ag than the general fund education mill levy is. General fund mill levy is down around 2 mills. Capital outlays 3. You know, at least on the general fund, with ag as it currently stands, the mill levy is adjusted down as the values go up. You're still paying more, but there's at least some relief there. Capital outlay, you pay the full boat. So that was just my view of where we're at now. When we came with Senate Bill 8, again, cleanup language, Lieutenant Matt Michaels came to me, and we had a long visit. And I've stated for years that if any change is going to take place, major change as far as a big picture in addressing equalization of capital outlay and other revenue and all the other things that come to mind, it's going to have to come from the second floor, just like the general fund equalization process and the new funding formula that was developed in 1995. I was very pleased on the product of the conversation with Lieutenant Governor that they fully intend at taking up this issue and start taking the steps to help resolve the issues surrounding capital outlay. I think the conversations right now are surrounding setting up a working group and start examining the big picture problems with capital outlay and big picture solutions. So that's why I've agreed, rather than to present the appearance through Senate Bill 8 that we are actually doing something, which we're not, it was simply to clean up statute, that I would ask this committee to table Senate Bill 8. And that is simply to put it to bed, to leave the slate clean as far as allowing the conversation to be focused on the task at hand, and that is addressing the big picture problems with capital outlay. So with that, Madam Chair, I would respectfully ask that a member of this committee move that this bill be tabled.
Thank you, Senator Roden. Again, committee, I think before we maybe make a motion, though, I would like to hear further testimony, just because I think some folks maybe want to put some comments on there, and we appreciate this update, and I think that was very healthy for the committee to hear the update, because this has been a work in progress, and I know you've been leading the charge on this since, 2001 and with production versus market value. So I think what I want to do is just take any further testimony. That way we can ask further questions, possibly, if there's anybody else that wants to make a comment on this or any questions from the committee that would give that opportunity. So I want to say further proponent testimony, but I'm just going to say further proponents or further comments from the floor, if I can say. Yes.
Rain Kolchak testifying on behalf of
myself. I think you want to turn your mic on. You want to turn your mic on?
Frank Kolchak, Scotland, South Dakota, testifying on behalf of myself. I want to say a profound statement here today. I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I want to agree 100% with every word, every sentence, every line that Senator Roden has said today. And I agree with every comment that he made, and I think he's right on the target. There are two other areas that need to be talked about, and one was the safety valve with the property tax issue. I was there when Senator Huttmacher and others proposed the safety valve, and it was not a safety valve at the time. It was meant on the opt-outs as an enhancement for education funding. And I know it's not the Education Committee or the Tax Committee, but instead it became a safety valve, an escape valve that the schools turned to keep their schools open, and I don't believe that was the original intent. And the other point is there's a real issue with land assessments, how they do it with along creeks, and you have soil that is showing up on the ratings that's farmable, but it's underwater anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 months out of the year, and it can never be farmed, and it's really poor pasture. It's just slough hay that's really tough to the cows to eat, and somehow that needs to be fixed as well. That's not fair, and I know the Honorable former Representative Dennard here and Jim Peterson and others have tried to get a handle around that, but those are the issues that I wanted to kind of bring forward. I just want to, for the record, say that Senator Roden is right on today.
Thank you, Mr. Kolchak. Further comments? Seeing none, then I'll close the discussion and comments and testimony, and I'll just move to committee questions at this time. Committee questions? Questions from the committee. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Senator Roden. The reason why you did what you did this morning, it was for educational purposes for the people in the room and also the Internet listeners. And I think quite often when people get their tax bill, they don't analyze it carefully enough. And can that tax bill have the ability to show specifically what that capital outlay levy is per school district, because it can be at $3 and it can be at zero. I think there's 17 that have no capital outlay levy, and then I don't know how many are at three, but is there a way we can educate the taxpayers a little bit better when they get their tax bill in regard to this?
Senator Rudin.
Well, it's a good question, and Matt Michaels, people that have been in a few years, I still have on my desk, he has the tax laid out on his house where it's went. And because there were so many misperceptions about Janklow's property tax relief, and there was a lot of rhetoric about, well, my taxes didn't go down, that didn't have any effect. And when you really dig into it and you do a 10-year history, you can see exactly what effect that's had. We've seen in the general fund, the mill levies have went, I believe they're less than half what they were 12, 13 years ago. And Matt's summation of why that was, that people didn't understand it, is because for the most part, most people in the state, unless you're on an ag place, you pay your taxes as part of your mortgage payment. And so you don't really investigate it. The Aggies understand it because they're writing a check every year for their taxes, and so they tend to look at it very closely. So, it's just a matter of wanting to. The information's there if people really want to understand their taxes.
Follow-up, Senator Lucas.
More specifically, when you get that ag levy in your tax bill, is it just one ag levy? Does it show the $2 for this ag levy plus the $3 capital outlay and the special education pension? Is it all in one, or does it itemize those line by line?
Senator Rudin?
Yeah, I don't recall with, I don't have a statement in front of me, but I do know as I've looked at them in the past, they are confusing because they have a lot of acronyms and things that do make it confusing. And, that might be a good subject, to add into the conversation, is making a standardized form that's easier to wrap your arms around coming from the Director of Equalization, because I think that'd be a great idea if you had a form that you could look at and understand that the different mill levies, the capital outlay, the special ed, the county, the general fund, there's a lot of information there, and it could be done, I think, in a lot easier to understand format.
I think Representative Paul Dennert has that sheet, and I think the committee would do us well to show it and pass it around.
Well,
and make a comment.
I could make a copy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Thank you. I didn't plan on getting up as I had a conversation with Senator Rodin and
please share your name.
Oh, Paul Dennert, Columbia, South Dakota. I'm lobbying on behalf of Farmers Union, but I think this is more a question. I'm not lobbying today, but that's who I am. I've followed this issue, and I would have probably had some comment, but I had a visit with Senator Rodin and Mr. Michaels yesterday. But when Senator Lucas brought this up, I've got 2012 payable or 2013 payable and 2014 payable right in my hands here. A year ago, Brown County did not separate them, Senator. But afterwards, if you wanted to sit down with me, not all counties do this, but our Director of Equalization has got it all broke apart. They got like Aberdeen City, then the county general, the mill levy, and then all of the levies for the school district are broke apart. Whatever the levy is for capital outlay at 3 and the school general at 429 and this and that. So it's broke out. If you'd want to, we could run a copy of what Brown County has did payable this year. But I got a different one. I'm going to let you make the copy off of than this one.
One more piece of information in that issue is that for a number of years we used to get a postcard, basically mailer, for tax purposes. Now I think most of the assessors are sending out an envelope where you can provide that information, because that postcard just physically did not have enough room to list that all on there. So I'm not sure if all counties are to that point, but I appreciate the efforts that Brown County's doing.
I don't think they're all at that point, because I visited with another legislator and showed my breakdown. He said, my county doesn't do that. If you might, I'm going to hold up and give the page a different than this particular sheet. This happened, and it's blocked out, but I'm going to use one of my sons or my own. So this is a $500,000 house in Aberdeen, and the valuation, if anyone looked at it, but I'm not going to make copies of that one. I'll get one of my own and give to the paper.
Thank you, Mr. Dennett. We appreciate your comments. Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome, Senator Roden, to respond. But more so as a question I had this last weekend, as we had a Cracker Barrel and we're talking about capital outlay. Some of the schools in my area, they have taken advantage of the expansion to use those general fund expenses for taking it out of capital outlay. And I've agreed, I've never liked that. I think that was a wrong move that the legislature has made. But they said, well, we can't increase our mill levy in capital outlay if they're in that program. But at the same time, and I think Senator Roden follows where I'm going here, when their values increase, when their valuations increase, they don't have to worry as much about increasing the mill levy because they're already benefiting from a windfall. So, again, I just wanted that point to be made that even though they participate in that program and their mill levies are essentially frozen or they can't increase for capital outlay, they benefit from any windfall based on the, as we see now in ag, 17% increase in valuations.
So. Senator Roden, any further comments or clarification on that?
I think that was a pretty accurate statement.
Senator Ravalli.
A quick question for Senator Roden. You would prefer that we table this bill. Are you speaking in that instance from both your personal standpoint and from the oversight task force, that's the feeling of the task force also?
I am, and Madam Chair, I am, and I think I covered my bases. I didn't want to act on my own, you know, my own instincts, so I have sought out every legislative member of that task force to inform them what I was proposing to do and why. And I think Senator Frerichs is on that committee. I think he could testify that I cleared that with him and had a conversation. So, yes.
Further questions. Senator Roden, could you please further clarify, I guess, on the conversation then? So are they intending to, so just talk about capital outlay and what are they intending to do then? Or is this going to be something that the role of the Ag Land Assessment Task Force is going to handle or coming again from second floor?
No, it will not be handled from the Ag Land Task Force because obviously this is a statewide issue and of the magnitude. As I've stated in the past, that if we really want, there's no way under the sun that, based on my experience in the legislature, that any legislator or a legislative interim committee could tackle this type of an issue and have any hope of success. So my understanding is from the second floor, the governor and Matt Michaels, as their spokesman, their intentions are to look at putting together a working group to start putting the conversation together on, you know who, what's at stake, start getting ideas on what it would take to equalize capital outlay, just like we did with the general fund education, and a strong desire and a strong understanding coming from the second floor, what's at issue here and what it's going to take to resolve it.
Further questions. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Roden, a comment. As you put this task force together, I believe those 17 school districts that don't levy capital outlay do so primarily because they receive a lot of impact aid funding in their school districts that they're either affected by Native American Trust land, one of our reservations, or Ellsworth Air Force Base. So to be in fairness, I'm not sure that they need to be represented, I put it that way, and it's got to be some way crafted so you consider that when you equalize it, whether you would take an equal portion of that impact aid, and I'm not sure you can even do that to equalize that because I think the federal law has been pretty clear on that. So that's going to be one hurdle in the way there is how do you treat those where the federal government has pretty much said you got to leave that impact aid alone for those districts.
Comment, Senator Roden?
Yeah, well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, you bring up one issue of 1,000. And and it's well received, understanding that this this will have nothing to do with me unless by some chance I was on a task force or the working group, but it's one of many issues. Again, an issue of great magnitude as far as trying to wrap your arms around it and wrap your arms around a viable solution. That's why it was so encouraging for me to hear that the Governor Dugard is taking an interest and is going to start taking the steps to resolve the issue.
I think we have one more question. Senator Valley.
Not a question. I just want to commend the senator for taking on the task with the Oversight Committee and also taking the initiative to talk to the administration and start down that road, because I've always been the guy that voted against expanding that, and I caught a lot of grief. Why didn't you do that? And I says, that's wrong. And so I'm glad to see that we're going to fix that, and I commend you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right. I'll close comments and questions and discussion at this time, and I'll entertain a motion for action. Senator Valley.
I move that we table Senate Bill 8.
There's a motion to table Senate Bill 8 by Senator Valley and then seconded by Senator Frerichs. That means there will be no further, it's a tabling motion, there will be no further comments or debate. So at this time, I'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Ewing?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Omdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 8 is tabled. Thank you, members of the committee, for your patience, and I appreciate Senator Roden's little explanation and overview for all of us, a refresher course, and we appreciate that, and we look forward to hopefully having conversations more about capital outlay and other areas, I'm assuming. At this time, there'll be a meeting on Tuesday. We don't have a lot of bills. I'll be honest. We only have one bill at that's been assigned to us, and we have three confirmations for Game Fish and Parks, so it's pretty quiet this year compared to last year. We had a really heavy workload last year, and so this year we're going to take maybe a little break. So this time the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Lucas, seconded by Otten. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Ag is so adjourned.